Of learning and Rav Berzan and Shir 24 years ago, back in the Yeshiva Chalavim. Rav Berzan also was Rosh Yeshiva for many years in Yeshiva Chalavim, Yosaret Zion, currently Rosh Yeshiva in Landers College. We're very, very lucky that Rav Berzan has made time in his schedule to give us a Shir and to hear about Landers College as well at the end of his time.
Shis Rosh Yeshiva, Shis Rabbanim. Thank you very much. I was told that you're learning the first Perek of Makkos, and I prepared a shiur on that. We'll see in the time that's allotted to us if we can maybe talk a little about Chumash as well, because I know sometimes you use this slot to talk about the Parsha and Ashkofa and Musa. The Mishnah begins with Ketzer Ha'edim Nasim Zomim. Shkai, thank you so much. And the Gemara explains that it's really Ketzad Eino Edim Nasim Zomim. And the Mishnah lists two cases in which we cannot fulfill the halacha of Kasha Zomam. And we don't do to the Edim what they tried to do to the Nidon. Can you help me out here? What two cases does the Mishnah have where we don't apply the principle of Kasha Zomam?
Let's go in the world.
No, in our Mishnah, here at the beginning of Makkos. What do you say? Ben Grusha ben Chalutza
and
Golos. So we'll see that Ben Grusha ben Chalutza, the Gemara derives from the Pasuk of Asisem Lo Velo Lazara. And Golos, we're going to see Hu Yanus, Hu Velo Zomimov. But the Gemara on Daf Beis Amud Beis quotes a Braisa. And that you'll see on the second source on your page. So the Braisa records the first two cases that we already have in the Mishnah, namely Ben Grusha ben Chalutza and Golos, and then adds another two cases. What are the other two cases added by the Braisa? Anybody? Evid Ivri and Kofar. So if the Edim testify that someone should be sold as an Evid Ivri, instead of giving the Edim, if they're Zomimim, the same punishment of being sold as Avadim, we give them Malkus. Likewise, if Edim testify about someone who Shar killed someone, instead of imposing upon them the Chiyuv of Kofar, we Mechayev them Malkus. The question I want to ask today is a question on Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the author of the Mishnah. Why does he record two cases and not four? He has the cases of Ben Grusha ben Chalutz, the case of Golos, and he omits the other two cases of Evid Ivri and Shar Shaharag Esadim Kofar. Often we find in Chazal that the Mishnah leaves out cases in the Braisa because it disagrees with the Braisa. I'm not sure if I'm willing to go down that path. It's very hard for me to believe, given the fact that the Sugya on the Beis Amud Beis spends an enormous amount of time and energy to explain the two additional cases in the Braisa, that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the author of the Mishnah, disagrees with those two cases. But on the other hand, he omits them. So my goal today, in the short amount of time that we have, is try to suggest, perhaps, and I want everyone here to put their thinking caps on, some sort of explanation as to how to classify the two cases of that Mishnah and how they may be fundamentally different than the other two cases which are added to the Braisa, and therefore to explain that the Mishnah is limited to one category of Ketzad Ein Ha'edim Nasim Zomim. But before we address that question, let's relate to the famous question of Tosfos at the beginning of Masechta Makkos, and for you it's a Chazara, for me it's not. I haven't learned Makkos in a long time, but I'm very happy that you're learning Makkos. I think it's a great choice. I learned in many yeshivas, we never learned Makkos. I don't know why. In the summertime, sometimes, you know, it's a wonderful Masechta. And Tosfos raises the question at the very beginning of the Masechta, and I'm trying to evoke a response based on a certain principle that's so fundamental in Hilchos Edus, a requirement without which there is no validity to Edus. And what is that? Yes? Okay, in the positive sense, Eidishatiyachal Azima. You must have Eidishatiyachal Azima. Which means that every Eidus, in order to qualify as Eidus, has to be subject to the kiyum, to the fulfillment of the punishment of Kashrus Zoma. And yet, in the Mishnah, in the case of Ben Grusha, in the case of Golos, there is no kiyum of Kashrus Zoma. And Tosfos suggests two answers, two approaches to this question. Let's take a quick look at Tosfos. I've shortened it, truncated it for our purposes. This is number Gimel. Excuse me, number Hay on your page. Tosfos says Tema. Kaven dim huzmu einem nasim ben grusha chutzim kain gam below huzmu ech yas alpiyam ben grusha. And he quotes the halach of Eidus Atiyachal Azima. Yishlomi, the first answer Tosfos is kaven to lokim havi kasha zoma. And the second answer Tosfos is the gabi Eidus ben grusha v'chalutza lo chayshin in klal batayachal azima. The mehechan afkalon to be in Eidus Atiyachal Azima mi kasha zoma.
What are the two fundamentally different approaches of Tosfos to explain why these two cases, Ben Grusha and Chalutza, and Eidus Golos, are still considered valid Eidus if there was no Azama, despite the fact that you cannot fulfill the din of Kasha Zama? But what's the first answer, Tosfos?
Malchus.
Excellent, Malchus. Malchus is the kiyum that makes the Eidus into Eidus Atiyachal Azima. And what's the second answer, Tosfos?
It's not,
it's not in the parish of Kashrus Zoma. The source for the requirement of Eidus Atiyachal Azima is the parish of Kashrus Zoma. But these cases are excluded from Kashrus. So let's just review what we know. First of all, we know that the Mishnah enumerates two cases where there's no kiyum of Kasha Zoma. The Brice adds another two, filling it out to the number four. And number two, we have two different approaches in Tosfos how to solve the riddle of Eidus Atiyachal Azima. Either we say it is Atiyachal Azima, and the kiyum of Azoma is through Malchus, or we suggest that you don't need Eidus Atiyachal Azima, because Eidus Atiyachal Azima is derived from the parish of Eidus, of Kasha Zoma, and these cases are not included in the parsha of Kashrus. That's what we have so far. At this point, I would like to raise the following question. We know that Ben Grusha is excluded from Kashrus Zoma because of the pasuk lo v'lo lazara. We cannot punish the Edom in such a way that they will become psulim, if they're kohanim, their children will make sherim. That would be an incomplete fulfillment of Kasha Zoma. The Torah on the one hand says, lo v'lo lazaro, we cannot pasul lazera. On the other hand, be'inan Kasha Zoma. V'lecha, a partial fulfillment of Kasha Zoma, which would impose a psul on the parent, on the aid, but not on his children, that doesn't ring. We know on the other hand, that Golus is again excluded from Kasha Zoma. But here, mind you, it's not excluded from the parasha of Eidus. It's excluded from the parasha of Golos. In Golos, it says Hu Yanus, and the extra word Hu. The Gemara dashes Hu velo Zoma. Now let's jump to the Braisa. Who can tell me why, in the case of Eidus who testified that Shoro shall ploni Haragas Adam, and the Eidus becomes Zomanim, we did not subject them to the punishment of Kofar? Excellent. Let's think about this. I want to raise the following question. When the Torah says that Kasher Zomam does not apply, right? Ketzad Eina Eidim Nasim Zomam. What's the reason for that? Is it A or B? One way of looking at it is to say that there's something about the nature of this onesh, of this punishment, that Beis Din wants to impose on someone who violated a Torah law, that doesn't apply to Eidim Zomim. If we look carefully, if we analyze the nature of the punishment, there's something that qualifies it, that limits it, that excludes it from other cases.
one of which might be Edom Zom. That's one way of approaching it. Then the halach of Ketzad Ein Edom Nasim Zomim inheres in the very nature of the punishment of the Onish itself. But there's another possibility. That this Onesh and its complexion could apply expansively to all cases, even to Edom Zomim, for their violation of Eidah Sheker. But the Torah says that the Edom just simply don't deserve that punishment. They violated Eidah Sheker, Lo Sada Reach Eid Sheker, but they don't deserve such a heavy, all-inclusive punishment as it was formed by the Torah in its original pristine form in the case of whatever the Avera might be. So again, let's just review. What's the deficiency? What's the chisar? Where does it lie? Is it inherent in the nature of the punishment, what I call tiv ha-onesh? And the tiv ha-onesh is qualified and cannot apply in the case of Edom. Or does it have something to do with the Edus itself? The violation of the Edus does not deserve, is not appropriate for that punishment that the Edom tried to mete out to the needy. Alright, let's take the case of Kofet. Where does the chisaron lie? Is the deficiency in the Edus, or is the deficiency in the nature of the punishment? How do you know this? I agree with you 100%. Because what does Gemara say? Kufra? Kapara. Kapara is a very unique kind of punishment, the very essence of which is not a punishment per se. We call it an onesh, but it's not really an onesh. It's kapara. It's an atonement. An atonement for a particular sin. Every sin, the way the Torah designs it, requires its own particular method of achieving atonement. The atonement for the terrible sin of not watching your shar, or maybe in our modern context, if you have an automobile and you don't put on the emergency brake and somebody dies as a result because the car rolls backwards, the kapara that you need for such a terrible sin, you know, you might call it second degree murder, is to pay a kofar. But that doesn't apply to the Avera of Eidah Sheker. That's not a kapara. That would be an onesh. Kapara l'chu and an onesh l'chu. So there's something about the nature of the kapara inherently that excludes other cases. One of which would be Eidah Sheker in the case of Eidah Zomim. Okay. Now, let's analyze the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. And I want to know if in Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza we're saying that there's something about the nature of the punishment of creating chalolos, which is qualified, which is limited, and cannot apply to the Edom, or are we saying that the Edom don't deserve this punishment? The punishment exceeds beyond the crime. And at this point, I'm going to quote the Afikiyam. I don't know if the Rebbeim spoke about this Afikiyam, and if you did, it's probably months ago. The Afikiyam would take us about an hour, but you don't have that time. But I'm just going to borrow two elements, two concepts from the Afikiyam. He's one of the Gedolei Yisrael, a little bit less familiar than some of the Gedolei Achronim that we quote in the Yeshivas. But he points out two things. Number one, he says that the punishment of chalolos, of making someone possible to kahuna under the law of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, only applies in a case of toldoso or yitziroso ba'avera. That's a concept that appears in a number of sugyas and shas, in which there's something about the leda, about the birth of this particular kohen, that disqualifies the kohen from kedushas kahuna. Since in the case of Zara, the children of the Edom, they're lacking this element of yitziras on ba'avera. There was nothing illegitimate from a kahuna perspective, about the marriage between their parents from which they were born. I use they in case there were more than one son. That punishment to make the zera of the Aven into psulim just simply doesn't apply to the zera, because the zera is not yitziros and baveri. And yet the Torah says, "Be'inon kasher zoman v'leka." We have to somehow do to the Aven what they wanted to do to the Nidon. They wanted apostle not just the father but also his son. We have to do that to the Aven, but we can't apostle their son because we're lacking the element of yitziros and baveri. And then the Afikayam has a different approach, a different element, in which he claims that we could theoretically passel the children, but the Torah says, V'asisem lo, lo v'lo l'zara. The Torah says that when you testify against someone that he's passel l'kuhuna, and now under the law of Kasher Zaman, we have to do to the Edom what they want to do to the Nidon and passel them, meaning we have to passel the Edom and the Zera. The Torah says, in this case, the children of the Edom did not violate any crime. Are they guilty of any criminal violation? And therefore it doesn't make sense, as the Torah says, lo v'lo l'zara, to punish the children for the crime of their father. So let's just review. We were wondering, what's the nature of the din of Ein Ha'edim Nasim Zomim? Is it something in the nature of the punishment? Or is it something in the limitation of the violation of the criminal act in the Eidim? And the answer is, it really depends upon these two approaches of the Afikayam. If you go with the approach that there's no Yitziros on Ba'Avera, then the reason why we cannot apply Kasher Zomam in the case of Engush and Chalutza is because of the nature of that din of Chalolus. Chalolus cannot be applicable to the children insofar as they weren't Yitziros and Ba'Avera. There was nothing possible in the way that they came into this world. Then it's a din in the Avera. Excuse me, it's a din in the Onish, in the nature of the punishment. If on the other hand, I go with the second approach of the Afikiyah, then why did the children deserve to become excluded from Kahuna for the sin of their fathers? Then it's a din of lo v'lo l'zara. It's embedded, it's inherent in the parsha of Eidus. That this Eidus, despite the fact that it's a despicable criminal act, a violation of lo sana, one of the Aseres HaDibros, nevertheless, it doesn't deserve a punishment that should be shifted and transferred to the children who are totally innocent. What about the case of Golus? And what about the case of Eved Ivri? Well, the Gemara says, at the bottom of Daf Beis on the page, that the Eidim in the case of Eved Ivri are not sold as Avodim. And why not? Because the Torah says, V'nimkar b'gnei vaso v'lo v'zolomo. For what violation is the punishment of being sold as an eved appropriate? Only for gneiva. In fact, the Torah Tmima on this pasuk, in the Gneiva also, quotes a wealth of sugyas, wealth of dinim, which he enumerates one by one, in which the violation does not incur the punishment of the nimkar v'gneiva also, because it wasn't gneiva. It seems very clearly that the exclusion of Eidim from the punishment of being sold as an Eved Ivri is based on the nature and the qualification, the very limited nature of the Nimkar B'Gnei Vaso. B'Gnei Vaso, V'lo B'Piron Cho, V'lo B'Kefel, V'lo B'Isha. There are so many cases of violations that are excluded from Bechir as an Eved based on this very same pasuk, the Alfuso, the Nimkar B'Gnei Vaso, that it seems that the Torah went out of its way to whittle down the application of Mechir as an Eved Ivri. In that sense, Eidus is just one of many, many different cases. And it doesn't reflect anything in the parsha of Eidus, in the Avera of Eidus. What about the case of Golus? from whence do we derive the halacha that Eden Zonavim do not go into Golus if they testify that Reuven killed someone b'shogeg? The Torah says, Hu Yanus, Hu Velo Zonavim. Here I don't know. The Ritva says an amazing chiddush. We don't have time now to go through the Ritva inside. The Ritva says that when you send a rotzeach for shogeg, obviously, into Golus, that's not a kapara. We think it's a kapara. But the Ritva claims, sends us to a sugya in the second parak, which in Yirtzeh Hashem you'll be studying very shortly, from which the Ritva proves that Golus is not a kapara. Kapara is an indirect result of Golus. But fundamentally, Golus is an onesh, it's a punishment. It's not similar to the case of Shoro, Shahar, Gesahana, where the very nature of Kapara, of Kufra, excuse me, is Kapara, essentially. In the case of R.A. Miklot, we're not talking about Kapara, we're talking about an onesh. And he has a beautiful nafkamina. He says that in the case of Kofar, and he quotes the Ramban on this, Beis Din cannot force a person to pay Kofar. Kapara is something that a person has to accept upon himself willingly. I can't shove down your throat the availability of atonement. You want to avail yourself of a certain vehicle that can achieve atonement? That's what you should do. But ain't Beis Din mashkin at all kofar. Mashkin in the case of Golus. Beis Din will force the rotzeach to go into Golus. Just like Beis Din is obligated to impose and guarantee any fulfillment of any onish, of any punishment. It's not a question of will. In fact, if the rotzeach b'shogeg steps out of the Eir Miklat, what happens? Ein lo domin. He could be killed on the spot. That's because of the nature of the onesh of Golus. If that be the case, then when we come to Eidim Zon, who again, as we said before, are liable under a strict, a very severe violation of Osana Barachet Shakar, but they didn't kill anybody. They don't deserve any sort of ritzicha, any sort of harigas bezdin, of misas bezdin, not even in the form of the punishment of gold. Therefore, in the light of the Ritva, one could suggest, although it's not muchak, but one could certainly suggest that Hu Yanus Velo Zomimov is a Gili Milsa, teaches me that the nature of the crime of Eidus Sheker is not such that it deserves the punishment of Golus, which is a punishment that's appropriate for someone who's in violation of murder. That far they didn't go. Again, if they testified against someone and he's a murderer, Kashu Zomimov, we treat them as a murderer. But when he testifies against someone that he killed b'shogeg, therefore, it's not a case in which the Eidim come under the halacha, the hilchas onshim of rotzeach. The Torah was lenient upon him and said that this onesh for this avera doesn't justify the onesh. Perhaps in the light of this discussion, we could answer our original question. Rav Yehuda Hanasi limits his discussion in the Mishnah to two cases: Golus and Ben Grusha Ben Chalitz. He excludes the two cases of Eino Nimkar Bevin Ivri and Kufra Kapara Shara Gesod. Why? Because Rav Yehuda Hanasi, in editing the Mishnah, is interested in one category of Ketzad Ein Ha'edim Nasim Zomu, and not in the second category. He's interested in those cases in which the Torah in the Parsha of Eidus, imposing the punishment of Kasha Zoha, says, I can't, up until this point. The Eidim have violated Losana, but they don't deserve the same punishment. The punishment is too harsh for the crime. In the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, and in the case of Golus. In the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, it would entail punishing the children, and they're innocent of the crime. In the case of Golus, it's an onesh, the nature of which is appropriate for killing someone. The Eidim are not chayav, they're not culpable for killing someone. There was no murder involved. And therefore, these two cases are excluded from Kasher Zomam, Mihilchus Eidus.
the inherent halach of Eidus excludes these two cases from Kasher Zomer. Mashenkin the Braisa. The Braisa expands to another two cases. In those two cases, the exclusion of Kasher Zomer is not in the parish of Kasher Zomer, but rather in the nature of the punishment. The punishment doesn't fit Eidus. The punishment is limited and qualified and circumscribed. For example, in the case, and this is a simple way, of Kufr Kapara. Kapara doesn't fit in the case of any other Avera besides being negligent on watching something that could kill someone. And in the case of Mechira B'tar Seven Ivri, that punishment was limited by the Torah to one and only one violation, namely someone who stole something from someone and cannot pay for it. Cannot take it. Let's now go back to the two answers of Tosfos. Tosfos in the first answer, at the beginning of Masechta Makis, says that yes, the Eidus doesn't have the punishment of Kasher Zomer, but we find a substitute punishment. If the punishment of Kasher Zomer in these cases is not appropriate, then we'll find a different punishment. So what punishment does Tosfos substitute? Malchus. And that's the key of Kasher Zomer. That fulfills the requirement of Eidus Shateyachal Azimah. And Tosfos' second answer, as we saw earlier, Tosfos says, in these cases, the parasha itself excludes this Eidus from Kasher Zomer. And therefore there's no requirement of Eidus Shateyachal Azimah. The answer is, I believe that these two answers of Tosfos fit beautifully into our two categories of Ketzad Ein Ha'edim Nasim Zomim. If we're dealing with a case in which the Onesh and its nature, the complexion of the punishment, just doesn't fit any other crime except that specific crime that the Torah delineated, then in that sense, we're going to find a different punishment, a substitute Onesh that fits the crime. And that's the first answer of Tosfos. It becomes Eidus Shateyachal Azimah, not through selling them as an Eved Ivri, or not through sending them to, making them pay a kofar, because those punishments don't fit the crime, but we'll find a different punishment. And what's the substitute punishment? Malchus. That makes it Eidus Shateyachal Azimah. And that's the first answer to Tosfos. But the second answer to Tosfos is assuming that the Torah excluded this Eidus, call it X, Y, or Z, from the parish of Kasher Zomer. And that is true if you assume that the Eidim don't deserve that punishment. If they don't deserve the punishment, the Torah took that Eidus and removed it completely from the parish of Kasher Zomer. Okay, we only have a few short seconds left, so I just want to say something very quickly on the parasha. Last parasha that we read, Yaakov Avinu says, Alma Tikbareni v'Mitzrayim. And the question I want to ask you is, what was he commanding Yosef? Was he interested in something personal? And Yosef, under the mitzvah of Kippur Avayim, complies with his father's will, his father's wishes? Or was he asking something on behalf of Klal Yisrael? And I think if you read the parasha carefully, we don't have time, but do it on your own, you'll see beautifully at the very beginning of Parashas Vayechid, there really are two distinct parts to Yaakov Avinu's discussion with Yosef. The first one is a very personal request. Alma Tikbareni v'Mitzrayim. Rashi gives three different reasons why Yaakov doesn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. He's asking Yosef to do his bidding because Yosef is his son and has the ability and the capacity to fulfill his father's will, keep it up. And Yosef's response is Anochi Esekid Varev. But under the second pasuk, as a separate entity, he's Shavaru. Even though Yosef is committed to keep it up for him, he's got to take a shvur. Why? And I believe the answer is that whenever you find a command, a request, that is accompanied by a shvur, the shvur indicates that the one who's committing himself has his own independent reason, his own personal goal to achieve on behalf of Klal Yisrael. above and beyond, Yaakov says to Yosef, my personal need to be taken from Eretz Mitzrayim and buried in Eretz Canaan, Klal Yisrael needs it. Because during the upcoming centuries of Golus and Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael have to know that our place is in Eretz Canaan. That's where we're going to be buried. He shavali. Yosef, above and beyond, kibudav. This is your own personal requirement and achievement in life. Take a shvua. The Mishnah says in the Masechta Nida, when a person is born, the malach is mashviya him. To be a tzaddik. Every one of us has our own personal contributions insofar as we represent Knesset Yisrael. So I think the mussar of this parasha is that Yaakov Avinu understands that his being buried in Eretz Canaan is symbolic. It conveys a message to Klal Yisrael during those long bitter years of Golus that no matter where the Jew finds himself or herself, he's committed, he's connected to a different nation, a different place on the face of the earth, a different future and a different destiny. And that has to be his connection. Inextricable connection, his existential connection to Eretz Yisrael. May be Zochem Ritz Hashem to fulfill not only our mitzvahs of kibud towards others, towards our parents, our rebbeim and others, but also our own personal contribution on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And always to remember that our ultimate destiny and our connection is to Eretz Yisrael. Thank you very much.
Dr. Sokol and Rabbi Nathan.